The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Here's Master Jojo. You're our top man. Prepare to leave the house.
Today you boys will be involved in such activities as war games, ambush techniques, and blowing stuff up.
I don't think I can do this.
Was? Of course you can.
Aber dann kommst du.
When I was your age, I had an imaginary friend. Got me in so much trouble.
Kids, it's time to burn some books.
Yeah! You're growing up too fast. 10-year-olds shouldn't be celebrating war and talking politics.
Hi, Hitler.
I wish more of our young boys had your blind fanaticism.
Did you know Jews can read each other's minds?
But how would you know if you saw one? You look just like us.
Hi.
Hello, and welcome back to Fan Critical. Today, we are here to do a commissioned podcast for one of our Patreons, Beth. I'm Emma. I'm going to be hosting today, and I'm joined by Lucy.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking to you about the Taika Waititi film, Jojo Rabbit. And that lack of response summarises right. Some of our feelings.
I was going to say that it would be fitting for Easter, but obviously Easter's already gone.
Not far gone.
Wait till next Easter, maybe.
Yeah, release it in 2022. Might as well. So both of us have seen the film. And we are going to have a chat today about what we think about it. We're going to talk about some of the scenes that we liked, maybe some things we didn't like so much, and the performances in the film itself. But I'm going to start off by giving us the critics' consensus summary from Rotten Tomatoes and the scores that it received from there as a little baseline for us. So the critics say, Jojo Rabbit's blend of irreverent humour and serious ideas definitely won't be to everyone's taste. But either way, this anti-hate satire is audacious to a fault. Critics give it 80%, and it has a 94% fresh audience score, which I think is interesting. So I think we'll start off. Lucy, tell us about your first experience of Jojo Rabbit, what you thought of it, and the Blueberry score that you would give it.
I first watched Jojo Rabbit when it came out last year as one of the Oscar contender films. Big fan of Taika Waititi, love Ragnarok, he's made other sort of more Kiwi-based films, so recently actually watched a film called Boy that he did, and Hunt for the Wilder People.
I love Hunt for the Wilder People.
So good, and I love What We Do in the Shadows, so his kind of humour I appreciate very much. So I was quite looking forward to this film when I watched it, although I do remember watching the trailer and thinking, what is this about? Where's it going to go? What's it going to be like? And I have to say, I was disappointed when I watched it. I didn't think the biggest problem for me was the tone. I thought the tone was wildly uneven, as uneven as some of the German accents that just come and go in this film, which was also quite annoying.
Yeah.
There's quite a lot that I think is wrong with this film, so I won't go into it all now. But I think it's actually quite boring. To watch it, I think it's actually quite dull and boring, as well as tonally confused. So I would give the film 2 blueberries.
Okay. And for anyone who doesn't know, although I'm sure you all do if you're listening to this, the blueberry system even, it's very simple. It is a scale of 0 to 5. 0 is the worst, 5 is the best, and there can be no halves. Thank you, Lucy. Do you know what? It's weird. So I also watched this for the first time when I did my Oscars Best Picture nominations binge last year, and I hated it. I'll be honest. I'm well in with you on this. Like, okay, Taika Waititi does some of the best stuff. Like, he is fantastic. His humour is amazing. Hunt for the Wilder People is one of my favourite films. And actually, I'm going to watch it this afternoon because I need something cheery.
You do.
After break. I broke my favourite mug. It's been a terrible day. But I don't know whether it was because some the other films that I watched around that time were so spectacular. Oh, there it is. The catchwords back. it just fell flat for me. And tonally, it's a bit all over the shop. But I rewatched it yesterday to kind of prep for this and remind myself of some of it. And it improved on a second watch, I will admit.
Okay.
I have to say it was, I think because I knew what I was expecting the second time around, I think I enjoyed it a little bit more. And there are, so like some of the performances are hilarious. I mean, Theon Greyjoy, little Alfie Allen.
Does he say like more than three words though?
He does, but most of them are Hail and Hitler.
Those are the two main buzzwords.
It improved for me, but it still isn't really a great film, I'll be honest. I think it's a shame because
it's disappointing. It's disappointing.
Yeah, it is disappointing because the concept is great. Like, little German kid who really wants to be part of the Hitler Youth, but actually does he? Probably not. And his imaginary friend is a slightly camp Hitler.
Mm.
I mean, great concept. Weird, but great. The delivery was disappointing. So I think on second watch, I actually would give it three blueberries. I think it's an average film. It's not amazing. It's got some downsides. But there are things that kind of redeem it on a second watch. Okay, interesting. A two and a three. Not about a full house if you combine us together.
Yeah, not a great average.
There's got to be some bits in here that you like though, Luce. So can we talk about good scenes? Can you think of a scene that you really did enjoy in the film?
I think the scenes between Jojo and the Jewish girl in the attic, whose name is...
Jojo and Elsa.
Elsa.
Which we should have remembered, really, because that's a name that we should all know.
Frozen. I think the scenes with them and the idea that he's really kind of absorbed this hateful doctrine to the point that he thinks that Jews have horns. And there's a good line, because I think the script was nominated, I think, for an Oscar, a Best Adapted Screenplay, because it was originally a book. But I think it's pretty lackluster in many aspects. But there's quite a good line when he says something like, what are Jews like? And she says, we're like you, but human. And I think that was quite a good line. And I did find it funny how he's obviously developing a bit of a crush on her. And he's got this, he's imagining her like freedom fighting boyfriend. And he's drawing the comics. Those bits are funny. And that's that kind of Taika Waititi humour coming through. I enjoyed their scenes together.
It's also a little bit of like the beauty of youth, isn't it?
Mm,
like that,
the innocence,
the innocence, the imagination. It actually won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay last year, presumably. Yeah. But you know, well done to Taika. That's great. I think you're right, because that's the more human part of it. And I think maybe that's what jars a little bit with the satire, essentially.
I just don't think... I think you can satirise anything. So I'm not someone that's like, you can't make fun of Hitler, you can't do this. But it's not successful to me. And I also think, what are you trying to get at when you do this? Hitler is gone. His neo-Nazis still exist. So, you know, I believe that you can satirise anything. But what's the point almost in these things? It's like, if you look, I'm not comparing the two directly, but if you look when Donald Trump was running for president originally and elected, you had Saturday Night Live doing, you know, getting Alec Baldwin in to impersonate him, etc. Did that work? Did that make people see him as a figure of fun? Made us see him as a figure of fun, but did he still get elected? Yes. Was he still in power for 4 years? Yes. So I don't really understand the point of his satirizing. And it just does not lay correctly in my mind with other aspects of the film. So you've got, you know, Stephen Merchant, Gestapo agent coming in and all the Heils. And you think, God, what a ridiculous like system that they had, like fascism is quite bureaucratic in that way. And then you've got another scene where Jojo's mum's hanging from, you know.
Yeah.
The traitors.
Well, that was one of the ones I was going to ask you about. I suppose you can almost see it as two different films, can't you? Like there's
it
the,
doesn't mesh,
you know,
well at all, I don't think.
That Stephen Merchant scene where they're all working as Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler, you know, like
that's funny
one after the other.
And stupid.
It is funny. And like, I mean, Sam Rockwell, I love Sam Rockwell in everything he does. I've never seen him fuck up a role.
I feel
role
like he was in a different film though. It's like,
yeah, totally.
You're not in the same film that I'm watching. Why is Rebel Wilson him, here? Like, that's
him,
bizarre.
Alfie Allen and Rebel Wilson are doing a comedy, and everyone else is trying to do something quite serious and you know, slightly
but
satirical.
It's also true when you say they're doing a comedy. It's kind of showing, you know, like these Nazis were just normal people and a lot of them didn't believe in what they were doing. Yeah. But then you've got the ridiculous aspect and then you've got the true and the tragic aspect of the people who tried to resist this like dictatorship were murdered. None of this meshes very well for me. And I think it's possible to do it. And I also think, and I wonder what you think about this, like the selling point of the film was the imaginary friend Hitler. And he's quite underwhelming. I was expecting to, like, I think Taika thought, oh, this is going to be really controversial. People aren't going to know what to think. And he really dialed it back. And to me, I was like, this isn't even like...
Go bigger.
Or... I wonder if you agree with this, because I'm just speaking, but do you think there is room in this film for two secret friends? So imaginary Hitler and Jewish girl in the attic. Because once Elsa comes into it, we're seeing less of Adolf. And I just think you could have just made a film about a young boy growing up under the Nazi regime, like really idolizing
him.
And the blind fanaticism that I think Stephen Merchant's character mentions. And then, but then being confronted with the reality of like, Jews are just like me and you in the attic. I think that might have worked better, but he obviously wanted to have this wacky, zany character of Adolf Hitler as an imaginary friend.
I really, really, because imaginary Hitler sort of disappears, like you say, when Elsa appears halfway through the film for most of it, until he comes back at the end and Jojo goes, fuck off, Hitler, which I thought was quite funny, to be fair. The story of Jojo and Elsa and Jojo's mum, like that for me is fascinating. So, I mean, you mentioned the scene where like Jojo finds his mum, well, we see the shoes, yeah, but his mum's hanging in the square. That's quite hard hitting.
It's horrible, yeah.
Isolate as an isolated scene, but in the grand scheme of the rest of the film, it doesn't really work. I would have loved to have seen Jojo and Elsa as a film, but then also just a totally different film about Jojo's adventures in the Hitler Youth with his imaginary friend Hitler, like that, with Sam Rockwell and Rebel Wilson, who's had 18 children for the Führer, you know, hilarious, and Alfie Allen doing their, you know, bizarre things. And okay, so here's a scene that I quite like. I want to see your opinion on it. So right towards the end, where Sam Rockwell is in his amazing feathery, glittery uniform, which you cannot not laugh at. Like, it is hilarious. And he's talking to Jojo and it's like, you know, your mum was a good woman. She was one of the, you know, the good people trying to do the right thing. And then he pretends not to know Jojo and Jojo doesn't get it because he's trying to save his life. Sorry, there's some children outside making noise. How terribly fucking rude. Youths! That scene for me, and again, I think this is down to the fact that Sam Rockwell is an absolutely stunning actor, was really, really good, because he switched away, but not completely, from that campy, mad old, you know, sergeant or wherever he was, captain, to being very human and terrified, you know, and that whole thing of being... All of the people fighting in the war or fighting someone else's war were all just people, and he just became a person. He became very human, and that human instinct to kind of save other people. What did you think of that scene?
I think what was his role, as in, is he SS or was he just part of Hitler Youth?
I think he might be in charge of the Hitler Youth.
Because to me, to be fair, like, there's a difference between a German soldier and a member of the Nazi party. So to be like, actually, he's a good guy, but he's part of the Nazi party. Like, what point is he trying to make? That's what I struggle with this film. And it's not to say, Nazis were just a faceless evil, but they subscribe to that doctrine about the inhumanity of the Jews and, you know, furthering the fatherland wherever they could. So do I really need to see this lighthearted film trying to humanize them? Like, when it's not, you know, fucking playing football across the no man's land, it's not soldiers just doing what they're meant to do.
Yeah.
You would have probably chosen that role. I know I'm going really deep into it and probably shouldn't, but I understand what you mean with the power of that scene. Like, and it is a great performance from Sam Rockwell, but I just think he's almost got his metaphors mixed up, Taika. And what the point he's trying to make with this film, an anti-hate film, as you described it in that synopsis, I'm not sure what exactly what point he's trying to make. Is it about the innocence of childhood? Is it about how everyone's human and we're all the same? Like, that's what's missing. And that's what stopped it being coherent for me, because I was just like, what is the point of this?
Well, sometimes you don't finish the film and go, oh, that's the message he was putting across. No.
Not that you have to, like, every film has to have a message, but I felt like this did, and I was just like, what is it? What does he mean?
And maybe if you... I just found the cat under the table. That was exciting.
You win.
I just put my hand down and was like, first prize. Animal. You know, and maybe the point is that, you know, we're all just human and sometimes we make terrible choices, like Hitler.
You can get caught up in stuff that, you know, might not actually... Yeah. Are as a person.
I think the thing for me about that particular scene with Sam Rockwell was that it wasn't like he changed his mind about what the decisions he'd made or anything like that. It was just that there was that glimmer of humanity and kind of self-sacrifice.
Yeah. Which, it's like the chance to do the right thing came and he took it.
Right at the end, you know, he knew he was going to die and he thought, well, maybe I'll just do one good thing. Maybe he did lots of good things. You know, the uniforms were lovely and he seemed to be good pals with Alfie Allen. So, you know, it's fine. Okay, something slightly more lighthearted and just purely for comedy value. There was a very small scene where we're in the, like, Hitler Youth headquarters and Sam Rockwell's lost his shit because Alfie Allen's brought him some actual German shepherds instead of dogs. Go, please tell me that made you laugh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, like, sort of surreal and a bit zany humour coming through. And I would have had, like, more than that. Like, I do think you can, done right, you can... satirize this whole time period and these people, but you maybe don't want to have a schmaltzy message at the same time. Like, it just didn't
work. Kind of one or the other. What's your opinion on Scarlett Johansson's performance in this?
Really, really average. I don't understand why she was nominated for as best supporting actress. Did nothing.
I could not for the life of me understand why they thought it was such a good performance. Like, she didn't blow me away. She can be a really good
actress.
She's
a good actress, but
she's done some good stuff, but I thought she was flat.
Yeah. There was no spirit or heart or any real sense of defiance to her. It was just like a background figure.
It all felt like a mask. I have to admit, like, it all just felt like a really flat affect. Even the scenes with her and Elsa, like that, it didn't hit.
No, it's so true. There's a disconnect between the character we saw and her saving someone. It was her daughter's friend, wasn't it? I didn't get that was the same person who was keeping her up there. Like, I got none of that from her. It was pretty poor performance, I think. Didn't give me anything.
Yeah, I mean, for me, one of her weakest, I will be honest, and I didn't believe her.
I don't think there must have been many good performances submitted to the Academies
for
her to be nominated for that.
I don't know, it almost just felt like she didn't care
for phoning it in.
Yeah, a little bit, which is a shame because I like Scarlett Johansson. I think she's good. It just it I don't know whether, I mean, obviously, maybe she was just overshadowed by our gloriously campy Sam Rockwell.
But the little lad, Roman Davis?
Yeah?
Roman, who played Jojo. I thought he was really good and I thought he connected and he got the kind of youthful innocence and the way that can go. Like, you look at Hitler Youth, like, it's a terrifying thought, really, all these young people affected by that way of thinking. And I think he did that really well. And, like, he wants to join Hitler Youth, but he doesn't want to kill a rabbit. So there's obviously a big gap between the reality and his expectations of what that ultimately will come to mean, to be part of that kind of organisation. And I thought he was really good. And then to have just playing against Scarlett Johansson, who's just there, like, not even really performing.
He was, you're right, he was fantastic. And I think it's, yeah, like, innocence and almost, it's the naivety that I thought he played really well. Actually, having just looked, he was born in 2007. Like, he is a baby.
How old would he have been then? Like, 11?
So he's 14 now. His birthday was on the 5th of March.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, he would have been 11 or 12, depending on when it's filmed.
Yeah, yeah. So I think he's good in it, and I think, yeah, he, without him, it would have been even more, like, even flat. And his little friend as well is funny.
I was just about to bring up his little mate. Like, his little mate Yorkie is the funniest little dude, and it's, look, at the end, Rick goes, "I don't think I can die." I'm like, "Oh, Yorkie."
But, you know, we've mentioned his films, Taika Waititi, but the films that he kind of made his name with prior to Thor, he got great performances out of all the kids that he worked with. So there's obviously something in him. I just think he thought he was being very clever with this film and very daring and controversial, but he forgot what it was meant to be about and didn't have that in his mind.
There is such a thing as being too clever.
For your own good, yeah. I'm told that often. You're just too clever for your own good. You're too smart.
Me too, man. That's what the boys say to us all the time on the podcast. Yeah, constantly,
like, criticising our brains.
Yeah, all the time. And I think if he explained it to you and then you watched it, it would probably be an excellent film. I feel like he's tried too hard. And sometimes I think when things aren't overthought or overdone, then they're amazing. Like, you know, and he clearly has this fantastic, like you say, way with kid actors. I mean, think about Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Ricky Baker. Like, I can't remember what I was watching the other day. It's the Godzilla versus Kong.
Right. I really want to watch that.
Right. Ricky Baker's in it.
What?
And he's just like a slightly more grown up Ricky Baker. And I was like, this is excellent. And, like, I never, him in Hunt for the Wilder People, very much like, the little David, yeah, the guy that plays, the kid that plays Jojo, excellent performance and clearly, like, pulled out all of the really fantastic stuff. Maybe Taika's just not good with adults.
I think he just missed the mark with this. He wasn't sure of what he was trying to say. And he started with the idea of the imaginary friend Hitler and thought that's hilarious, but didn't actually expand on that. Like, so what does that mean? What does that look like? Why is that funny? Why is that funny? Because you put a funny voice on and you mispronounce things. Like, we need a bit more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think what we need is we need Jojo Rabbit, the Emma and Lucy cut. If we get a Snyder cut, we get an Emma and Lucy cut, Jojo. And what we'll do is we'll make two films. We'll make Jojo and Elsa and Jojo Rabbit. And Jojo Rabbit will have no sentimental shit in it. It'll just be ridiculous.
Just be zany.
Jojo and Elsa. Yeah, and Jojo and Elsa will be, you know, tear jerky.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorted. Fine. There you go, mate. Any other performances you want to shout out for good or bad reasons in this film, Lucy?
Yeah, I mean, not really, but Alfie Allen, it's advertised on the posters, but he's just not in it, really.
He's in it for about 5 minutes in total.
He doesn't say anything. I also did enjoy, who doesn't want to hear David Bowie singing in German? Like, that's powerful. Heroes at the end.
Kraken.
I enjoyed that part. It's not just a terrible film, and I think that's why I have scored it as I have, because there's a good film in there, and it annoys me that through his own pride or whatever it is, he just had to don't know. He wanted to do his sort of offbeat zany, but also wanted to tell like quite a sad story. I mean, have you seen the film? We're talking about children and their innocence in times of war. Have you seen the film Life is Beautiful? It's an Italian film. So it's about, it won the Oscar, I think, like years ago. And the director like walked on the, like climbed across all the chairs. Don't know if you remember that. But anyway, he's... I saw it once and like cried my eyes out. I haven't watched it since. I believe they're Jews and they've basically been taken to work camp. But it's a father and son. So to spare his son the fear, he makes it out to be a game. And everything is like, well, you've got to hide here, or because if they catch you, then you lose 5 points. And it is very emotional. It's nothing like this, really. But it's just to say that you can make a film about war through the eyes of a child and it not be not very good or like tonally inconsistent. But I think he just tried to do too much and it didn't really come off for me.
Mm. No, I mean, I think you're right. And actually, well, it's described on Wikipedia as a comedy drama. Life is Beautiful, not Jojo Rabbit. But again, think about something like The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. So,
no, thank you.
It's a really depressing film, yeah. Which I've never watched or refused to watch.
Oh, it's so sad.
I've read the book. Yeah, I don't need that again.
No.
But there are parts in the book where you think, God, this is funny in a really sick way because the kid has no idea and it's about that naivety.
That's
and
you a
can,
good example.
You can make that point, less comedy, more drama.
That's very sad, but it's true because it's children not realising what they're seeing. And I think that is in common with both the films we've mentioned and this one, but then he does not mesh it in well at all.
Well, I won't be watching Jojo Rabbit again.
I don't think I will either.
I would just watch Sam Rockwell's character in a standalone film.
Well, like, maybe he'll have a spin-off. Mate, Disney Plus spin-off. Series.
Yeah, why not? Look, I would happily watch, what is his character's name?
Like
Captain...
Erfenhoff or something.
Kleinhoff?
I knew there was a Hoff in there.
I'm sure. Something like that. I would watch that. I'd happily watch that, but I shall not be watching this again. So, Beth, thank you, because I did enjoy watching it.
Sorry, Beth, if you wanted us to cover it because you like it, because you've just had two negative... I know Gareth likes it. So, yeah, soz. But if you like it, that's good. And I would actually be interested to hear from Beth what it is about it that she likes, if she likes it. And if she doesn't like it, then
equally
I understand
interested
why.
To hear those thoughts.
Yeah, so let us know, Beth. If you want.
100%. And our next commission podcast, who knows what that's going to be? We've got lots of things out at the moment. So The Worst of Netflix with John and Gareth came out this week. It is a corker. It is the... Which Wayans brother is it?
I think it's Marlon. He is...
Marlon Wayans. He is
potentially the most... I mean, John did do a bit of information in our group chat, didn't he, about how he's all his films are rated rotten on Rotten Tomatoes apart from three. I'd like to know what three they are, actually.
Yeah, out of interest, so would I. But they've covered Sextuplets, which I wouldn't recommend
watching. The name
alone
says it.
But I would recommend listening to the podcast because it is hilarious. And we've got a couple more How the Fuck Have You Not Seen That's coming up. The latest one I think due for record is Trainspotting, so that's very exciting. And if you would like to commission a podcast, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/fancritical and giving us some dollary dues to do so. But thank you, Lucy, for coming and chatting about Jojo with me. Thank you, Beth, for your support and commissioning this podcast.
Thanks for hosting.
We'll see you. Oh, you're welcome. We'll see you all soon.
Just a little shout out to any potential Patreons. If you want to go on and request that we commission a podcast for us to do Godzilla versus King Kong, please do, because I want to watch it, but I feel like I need an excuse. So
I'd watch it again. So
would you?
I second that, Lucy. Yeah.
There you go.
I would.
Commission all a right. podcast then, Emma. Commission away.
Thanks, Luce. I'm not commissioning anything, but somebody else can. Please,
do it.
Please do. All right. See you guys soon.
Bye.
Sheesh, that was intense.
What am I going to do?
No idea.
Got it. I've negotiated.
Burn down the house and blame Winston Churchill.
or negotiate.
If I tell on you, you'll be in big trouble.
They'll never win.
Love is the strongest thing in the world.
Your mother took me in. She's kind. She treats me like a person.
You two seem to be getting on well.
She doesn't seem like a bad person.
I'm the enemy.
You're not a Nazi, Jojo. You're a 10-year-old kid who likes dressing up in a funny uniform and wants to be part of a club.
God,
nothing makes sense anymore.
Yeah, I know, it's definitely not a good time to be a Nazi.